That'll probably be my best one of all time. Like, I come full speed in Atlanta game three, and I go behind my back. Like, he tried to steal the ball. You know, I do my famous behind the back. And then Kent Bazemore tried to help. And I just, boom.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to Point Game presented by DraftKings. Don't forget, DraftKings is your home for all the action across the NBA and gets you closer to the game we all love. The crown is yours. I'm one of your hosts, CJ Toledano, and as always, I'm joined by the reason why we have this show, five-time NBA All-Star, number one overall pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, ladies and gentlemen, John Wall. John, how you feeling, man?
What's good, man? I'm feeling great. Great. Happy to be back for another episode. Just to talk, man, just to sit back and give these guys what we want to give them. So I'm super excited.
We're in a good time of basketball right now because we got March Madness coming up. Playoffs are almost here. So I know we talk about Kentucky a lot on this pod, and this past weekend was Selection Sunday. How are you feeling about your Wildcats, Kentucky, getting that 3 seed?
I'm super excited. I feel like I wanted them to win the SEC tournament, you know what I mean? But they fell short of that. But it's tough to win 9 games, you know what I mean? Because if you go your whole tournament, win that, then you got to go to the NCAA tournament. So I think they just gave them – they wanted to win for sure. I wanted them to. I think just giving them a break, get some guys healthy, get their mindset ready for the NCAA tournament. And just know this, you lose one game, you go home. And I hope those guys make it a heck of a run because I have them going far. And I hope they can do something special.
I want to go back to the NBA because we had a bunch of fun games and moments that happened since we last talked. Now, you have talked, actually, on our last episode, you talked about two of these guys who I'm going to bring up. The first one, I'm just going to ask you, did you see that Anthony Edwards dunk last night against the Jazz?
For sure, I did. I almost threw my phone across the room. and I think what was spectacular about it is he dunked the basketball so hard the ball hit his finger and dislocated it. And you had to sit back and watch because, like, in that moment, he looked at him, but then he looked at his finger, and he didn't really, like, give that, like, how he wanted to celebrate. So he walked to the back. Everybody like, what happened? Hope he didn't, like, break his finger or anything.
Right.
But I don't think I ever seen somebody get dunked on and get a concussion. That's the point that got me, like, what? Like, you got dunked on. You know, John Collins, shout out to him because he's used to the one dunking on a lot of people.
Yeah.
And to get dunked on like that, but then, like, have to walk to the back and can't play no more. Like, it's like, damn, I would be mad about that. Cause I seen him walking to the bench and like somebody was like holding him, like touching his back, trying to talk to him. He moved a hand, like, you know, kind of probably mad. And probably like, man, I can't finish the game. But and special, man. We talked about this on one of our other episodes. Like, I told everybody he's special. The way he work out is the way he determined himself to be great. The leadership he has brought to his team. No, it's spectacular, man. That was like, that's dunk of the year for sure. I don't know if anybody can top that one.
Well, it actually brought up, we were trying to think of like best dunks of all time. And we're bringing up Blake Griffin, who had, you know, and I want to ask you this. Do you still classify it a dunk or is it a little bit in the shady area where like throwing in the dunk, like you're above the rim and it's not technically you like grab the rim, but you throw it in.
I think the part that you have to understand and respect more than like the dunk, like grabbing the rim is something. But to be that high and I can just throw the ball in and still make it, like, that lets you know how high I am. And you got Blake that has some dunks. I remember, like I said before, I had Liz Frank injured my foot against the Bulls.
Yeah.
And then I just go to, like, you know, you go to the internet real quick. I'm like, man, this is the game Blake played in New York and L.A. He spin move dunk, baseline dunk. I'm like, damn, like, rookie of the year is gone. Like, the way he started doing that game. But he even got DeAndre Jordan, you know what I mean? Like, when he caught the alley on Brandon Knight. So, it's so many spectacular dunks that's been going on. But, Ant-Man, that was special.
Off the top of your head, do you have, like, three – like, what are your top three dunks of all time?
I got to go Vince Carter on Alonzo Mourning.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say Olympics.
Oh, you just say anytime? Like, you don't have to be NBA?
I think all time, yeah, NBA.
Oh, well, Olympus is one for me. Olympus is one to jump over a seven-footer is one. Gerald Green alley-oop windmill in Jersey.
Yeah.
Is spectacular.
Underrated dunker, one of the best dunkers of all time.
Oh, for sure. I was in Houston with him, and he was old, and he still was like no socks, no shoes on, in socks, windmill, between legs, all vert.
Another guy I wanted to talk about, and we've talked about on the show a bunch, Kyrie. So last Sunday, Kyrie had that left-handed skyhook, I think, skyhook game winner. And I think here's why I want to bring him up, because I feel like we're not showing enough love. I mean, I know me and you are, but like people seem to have forgotten about Kyrie because he's been on a couple different teams. And like they're forgetting that he is him. Right now he's averaging 26 points a game. So like, can you one describe what makes Kyrie Kyrie, why he's special, and maybe even go into, you know, your relationship with him and those battles that were so special that everyone remembers?
Well, I think makes Kyrie special because nobody else can do what he do. Yeah. He's the best layup finisher we've seen in the game, either hand. Can catch and shoot. Can jab shoot, off the dribble shoot, mid-range, can post up, floaters either hand. He's just special, man. Like I said, I think he's the most skilled player that I have seen play the game of basketball. You know what I mean? I wasn't around older days, but I've watched a lot of highlight, watched a lot of YouTube. There's nothing that man can't do on a basketball floor. And he's doing it at 6'2". You know what I mean? And then I think he showed us in Brooklyn, he can catch an alley and dunk that people think he can't. He barely uses it. But our battles always been amazing. I think just us competing at a high level, you know what I mean? Him being younger than me, but one of the best guards in the league. I'm competing at him, so, like, he's going to bring the best out of you. Just battling, going at it day to day. I remember we was at home in D.C., and he had a reverse. You know what I mean? I'm used to timing up blocks, and I took over the whole left side of the backboard. I'm like, there's no way he can reverse and spin it on the other side of the glass. And he did it. I'm like, man, damn. You know what I mean? So, like, some things he just – just like how is he able to do it? And I think a lot of people appreciate what Kyrie's done when he's done. But him now, you could just say he's happy. Like he ain't dealing with no other stuff. He just focused and locked in on playing basketball. He has his family. He has his kids. He's enjoying that. And you could just see it's a joy on his face. Like he's just like, man, I'm out here to play basketball. You know what I mean? And he's enjoying it. He's a very special talent. Like I said before, like when our mom passed or just dealing with injury, he's a guy that contact me, make sure I'm good. Even when we played the year I was coming back from my Achilles in LA at the Skills Academy, we competed, you know what I mean, just competing at a high level and just trying to make each other better. That's one thing we always did. And one thing I do wish we could have happened, it would have been special, I think, for the league is me and him to match up in a whole playoff series. We always fell short of that, but I wish we would have had the opportunity so the league can see that in my prime, him in his prime.
Can I clear something else up with the OGs? Because you know how the social media works is they run with quotes. So and I'm in social too, so I know how to get headlines. The thing that I saw people in the last couple of days, they were quoting saying like you said that the NBA people don't play defense anymore.
Yeah,
and that's the only thing they ran, just that text. And then people were like, John Wall doesn't play defense, and I'm like, you guys don't know the stats. So I'll let you just, you know, let's use our platform.
Like for me, I know I play defense, bro. Like I was in the era when you had to really guard some of the best guards. It wasn't no somebody else guarding him. I was guarding the best of the best guards. I feel like I should have been on more all-defensive teams. I led the league in steals a couple of years. I probably have the most blocks. I think I have the most blocks as a point guard of all time as point guards. But as guards under 6'4 or 6'3, I think is D-Wade and me.
Yeah.
I feel like if I didn't have the injuries, I could have had a chance to catch him. I mean, I was great at blocking shots. But it's like, I'm not saying nobody don't play defense. You have guys that still compete at a high level. I'm just saying those guys that's locked down defenders, if I know he's guarding me, I'm going to run a pick and roll and get him switched off for me to get a weaker defender on me. That's basically what I mean. And it turns into one-on-one basketball trying to ISO. So I seen somebody say, like, well, Herb Jones played defense. I'm like, I know Herb Jones plays defense. He takes the challenge.
Yeah.
I know guys like Kawhi Leonard play defense. I see Anthony Edwards play defense. I know who else you want? Like a Jared Vanderbilt, those type of times. Andrew Wiggins, those guys, Draymond Green, they do play defense, but they can't guard everybody. And before, you used to have a team that can guard, and if you had a weak defender, you have help. But now it's just, like I said, basically pick up basketball. You know what I mean? You get ISOs. Like, you tell me how many teams got a playbook and tell me how many plays they got in the playbook. I would love to know that nowadays. When I first came in, rest in peace, Flip Saunders, I had a playbook with so many plays, it's like, whoa, I remember all these, you know what I mean? But luckily for me, I knew – We had a kind of playbook, kind of like for Minnesota when you ran most of the plays was 4-4 men and 2 men because back then they had Kevin Garnett, the Trust Be World, or Wally Zerbiak. You know what I mean? Then sometimes you have a side pick and roll that had Sam Cassell and Marbury and those guys. So I knew what our playbook was and most of our plays was going to. But I don't think teams really have a full playbook like that now. You know what I mean? You have certain counters and certain sets you go to get guys the ball, but it always turns into an ISO for real.
We're going to take a break. We're going to have Danny Green joining us next here on Point Game presented by DraftKings. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano presented by DraftKings. We are excited to bring on our next guest here. Three-time NBA championship with the Spurs, Lakers, Raptors, 2009 NCAA tournament champion for with UNC. I know we're going to get into that because John's from Kentucky. Ladies and gentlemen, Danny Green. Danny, how you feeling, man?
I'm good, man. I appreciate you having me on. Thank you. It was a hell of an introduction.
I had to get off. So I'm a Lakers fan, so I'm going to talk about that a little bit. So appreciate you for that title. But Danny, we've seen you on the court this year. And we've also seen you, you know, doing some broadcasts and some media stuff. So I just want to get our listeners and viewers caught up. What have you been up to since, you know, hitting the court with the Sixers earlier this season?
Exactly that. I actually just left Yahoo Studios. I'm doing the bracket and the tournament with them. So just talking some of the game, we'll be watching the game in studio live, mostly getting some live reaction stuff, and then we'll be talking and breaking down the game. It's been a while since I've actually been honed in on college basketball. I watch it here and there. Once you're in the pros, you kind of just focus on it, not only doing homework for media stuff, but for your scout. So I'm usually watching professional games, NBA games, because I'm got to keep up to date if I want to play. If I'm going to play against a guy, I need to know who was who. So it's a little different now. But I feel like colleges, this time of year, is always fun. Everybody's, you know, ready to see if they can win some money. Everybody's ready to see if their school can represent them the right way. You know what I'm saying? So that's a fun time.
Yeah. How did it feel winning the championship in 2009, like the NCAA championship? Because, you know, like, that's what it's all for. Like, if you're there for 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year, you just want to win one. You know what I mean? Because that's something you get to hold for a long time.
I'm very lucky, bro, especially to be in my last college game. I was a senior, so to be able to win my last college game, surreal moment. You know, as a kid, you dream of this when you're in your driveway, working out, wherever it is. But yeah, it's about winning a championship in college, what you go to those schools for. And that's why you went to Kentucky. And y'all had a chance. Y'all had a really good team. Y'all have a really good team this year, so you guys might be able to do it. It's, you know, if Carolina don't do it, I see Kentucky being one of the teams. I don't want to see UConn going back-to-back. So you want to see a new winner. But yeah, man, it's a winning the national title, being able to play with some of those guys, being on that stage, being in my senior year, going to the tournament every year, and being able to chance to experience it. Not everybody gets that. So I'm truly blessed, man, to be a part of some great groups, not just in the NBA, but in college too. So I'm extremely blessed to be in the positions I've been in.
Danny, we talk about a lot on this show, like the ups and downs, the highs and lows of the career. And you talked about, mm-hmm. you know, playing in the tournament, playing for UNC, obviously you guys are top, but then, you know, you get into the NBA. And I think a lot of people know about you. You know, you won these championships in the NBA, but like you had an interesting start. You were waived by the Cavs mm-hmm. after 20 games. And a lot of times the story ends there for a lot of players, but you went G League overseas and then you had a breakout season with the Spurs. And I think we all, you know, a lot of the community found out about you from that finals, but can you talk a little bit about like sort of what you were going through early on in your career and like sort of that unlock or discovery that led to, you know, the career that we all know?
Yeah. When you're a kid, it's tough to understand, you know, and actually handle some of the tough parts of life. When you're an adult, you've seen so many ups and downs. You've gone through so many different things. That's just part of what builds you as a man and your character. And it never ends, never stops. Whether you're a kid, whether you're an adult, there's always, no matter how successful you are, there's always going to be ups and downs. There's always going to be pitfalls. There's always going to be, you know, parts where you're going to lose confidence or second guess yourself, even as an adult. You know, and you're going to be like, you know I can do this, but I'm not getting this. You know, I'm not getting attention. I'm not getting, you know, what I deserve. And that's a big part of life. You know, there's going to be some unfair treatment. There's going to be some hiccups. There's going to be some times where you do everything right and you still don't get what you're supposed to, you know, deserve. And understand as an adult now, it's easier for me to handle it and figure out other avenues. As a kid, all I knew was I got to get in the gym. You know, I got to get better. I got to find, you know, find a way to make it happen. And this is probably one of the first times in my life where I've truly like busted my ass to get somewhere and not see the reward for it, not right away, but like pretty soon. So it's like, I'm still waiting. You're still waiting on a call. You're still waiting on this. But yeah, as a youngin, you know, not only just on the court, I didn't start till my senior year. So lucky enough, I got to win a championship, but I was playing a good amount of minutes my freshman year. And then we had a whole good recruiting class come in and I'm on the bench barely playing and seeing if I want to transfer or not. Back then, you can't just transfer, keep playing. You got to sit out a year, do all this other extra stuff. They ain't paying you. So going from that and having family issues back home, you know, somebody pops getting locked up, certain things, brothers going through it. There's a lot of different things, ups and down. So yeah, early on, even getting drafted, like people think you make it and you got a lot of money back then. I don't know if you know, but I was a second round pick and the money was nowhere near what it is today. You know, as a second round pick before taxes, like 484, it's like $400,000. And after that, you may take home $200,000.
Yeah.
And people think you're making millionaires. So yeah, you still have to pay the debts, whether it's college or family, whatever it is. And figure out your way and figure out if you're going to be in a rotation. I had to play during a lockout when overseas. So but luckily I had a good foundation around me. I had a good supporting cast with not only my Carolina family, but my real family, you know, my father, my brothers, they were all there. And we all had different stories, ups and downs and testaments of life. Luckily mine wasn't as crazy as some other people's are going through it, in different ways. So during that time, basketball was my outlet. My family was my outlet. And even now it's the same. You know, now I have other outlets. I can have a podcast now. We can talk about it. I can go to media stuff. I can do different things. I can talk to my friends. Some people go to therapy. I've done therapy. It helps you vent and get different perspective on it, which is a big thing now. Before, back in the past, people were looking at therapy like, oh, I don't, you know, looked at it as a different viewpoint. But I think it's healthy. We have a healthier world now. You know, it's a little softer. It's a little more sensitive. I do like the old school part of the world, but it's healthier for, you know, our next generation, our kids, to be able to express themselves and get the help and the resources that they need.
Yeah, and you talked about like sophomore year, you think about going to portal. One thing I always try to tell these like high school kids when they making a college decision, like make it for yourself. You know what I mean? Because if somebody else make it for your high school coach or somebody like that, and it don't work out, you're blaming them for it. But if you put yourself in that position, you like, I can sit here and I can fight through it. I can make that adjustment.
And it's tough as a kid, right? You're only like 17, 18 years old. Even deciding to go to school, your parents are a big influence on where you go. Mm-hmm. I mean, I always thought I could play anywhere, but going to Carolina, I'm like, shit, I wasn't the top. I made McDonald's, but I wasn't like one of those guys. You know what I'm saying? It's like, damn, if I go to Carolina, I might not play. And I didn't. I didn't play until my senior year. I had to fight to get into that. So even when I was thinking about transferring, it was like, all right, what's a better fit for me? Because I wasn't playing. And also, what's closer to home? Because I had issues going on back at the crib. So, you know, just going through that process and becoming a man and learning how to make decisions on your own, it's tough. And finding out who you are and what's best for you, you kind of don't really know that at that point, but you're still figuring it out. So, you know, these young kids, now it's easier to figure out. Now they can move better and get paid. And also, if things don't work out in a situation they don't like, they can figure out and still play without having to sit out a year or do this and that. So it's that it's a better space for the young kids and they're getting more of what they deserve. And it said the resources around them are making it, you know, healthier mentally and for them to grow up faster. They have so much more information.
Yeah.
You know, I had to go to the library, J-Dub, you know what I'm saying, back in the day. There was no Google on the phones. Google, now you can learn. They got TikTok. They learn so much on social media that they're way smarter than us earlier. So they're maturing faster, which helps them to become adults and be able to make decisions for themselves. Back when we were younger, it was really hard. We just had to trust in our coaches. We should trust in our AAU coaches program and our parents, like, yeah, this might be the best fit for you. It's like, well, all right, I guess I'm going to fucking, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is works for me. So, but now it's a, kids are able to grow up and now they get more freedoms to do it. And they're encouraging more to make decisions earlier to where they can, you know, grow up faster and become mature adults by the time they make a decision to go to college.
Yeah. So you was able to learn under one of the most respected coaches of all time, Coach Pop. I just always want to know, like, how was it being coached by him and how he makes each and every player come out and be a better version of themselves and their leadership? Because I always respected Pop, like, you know what I mean, going to USA Select Team, being around him, just hearing him talk about the game and the respect that he has. I always wish I had the opportunity to be coached by him. So I want to know how that experience was.
I want to ask you how your experience with him was during the USA team, because he's a different guy in season. Not everybody can play for Pop.
Yeah. You know, well, I think USA, I think, like, he was joking and laughing a lot more. And it's like, yeah, he wasn't the head coach at the time, but like just being around his president, just trying to pick his knowledge as much as possible. But I know it's totally different being in a full season under him. Then, you know what I mean? It's like when I first got to Coach Cal, like, you know what I mean? Just talking to him before I played for him, I'm like, all right, he's cool. But then when the season starts, you get between those four lines and you got 20 suicides in 20 minutes at 6 a.m. I'm like, I think I picked the wrong school. So I would love to know like your experience with Pop was.
So I was lucky enough to have a crazy high school coach. Shout out to Coach Tim Kloose. He coached me at St. Mary's and he coached Iona. We had success and then ended up having issues and also transferring and going to different schools and went to Long Island, you know, CW Post in Long Island. But he was crazy. So he prepared me for Coach Williams and then who prepared me for Pop to handle him. But like I said, not everybody can play for Pop. And off the court, he's great. grandpa jokes, comedian. I can't stop laughing. As I got older, I got more comfortable with asking, but you just, his presence is like feared. Like you're just scared, nervous. You want to be, it's like the principal. You know what I'm saying? You want to be on your P's and Q's. And when he said something, you listen and you chimed in mind because your first instance of it, like when you get with him, he's going to let you know that you're not safe by cussing out Timmy, Tony, and Manu. So like when you get there, it's like, all right, new guys here. Even no matter who we're playing, he's going to call a timeout and rip somebody. And it's going to be somebody you don't expect him to rip. And you're like, damn, that just puts you on. You're already scared of him. But now you're like, damn, he cuss out Timmy like that. I know I'm not safe. So like, I better make sure I do my job. But yeah, he on the court, most intense guy. He loves the game, very passionate, studies, but most intense in your face, depending on who you are. He knows who can handle what, but he's going to push you. They put you, I wouldn't say in a box, but they put you in a position to where your strengths are until you can be successful in that and figure out how to way to push the right buttons to get you to play at your, like, so it's like, oh, we know John plays better when he's angry. You know what? We play so and so on Thursday. This is Sunday. We play fucking, who knows? It might be a weaker team. We're going to play them. Right now, I might cuss you out to get you angry for that game Thursday. Like, that's the type of things Pop will do. It's like a chess game. So it's like, all right, I know you're chasing so-and-so. He may not be as good, chasing Kyle Korver, but you better be on your fuck because we got Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. So if you don't do your job chasing JJ, I'm going to cuss you out and take you out, and you'll be sitting in the doghouse to where I know that you're going to be built up to where you're going to take the game seriously, have a sense of urgency. So when you're chasing these other guys, you're going to be ready, and you're going to have one of your better performances. So he's really good at that. Playing the chess game, but also just like getting the best out of you and putting you in positions to be successful. Like, all right, this is what you're good at. We're going to do that, and you're going to perfect this. You're going to be elite at this. You don't need to work. You can work on some of that weaknesses here and there, but no, you're good at floaters and penetrating and pitching and finding guys, so you're going to do that. You shoot a three occasionally in the corner, so Tony was really not shooting many threes outside of the corner threes when he's wide open. You facilitate. If you don't have an open shot, you find somebody, and you do that. So they were really good with that, not just Pop, but the assistant coaches as well.
Danny, do you have like a crazy or funny Pop story that won't leave your head, like you always come to when people ask?
There's a thousand of them. It depends on situation. There's final situations, there's preseason situations. I always love preseason Pop because he's a lot more lackadaisical.
Yeah.
Our preseasons were pretty light because we had older guys. He messed with some of the new guys coming in, cuss out the old guys, scare the new guys, and also throw the, because he ain't afraid to, if you're new, to throw you in the fire. So you get a call up and you're just, oh, I'm just here to cheer guys on. No. First quarter, he's going to throw you in the game to see if you're fucking ready. Like, yo, oh, John, let's go. And you're like, I just got here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even know the fucking place. Get in there. You know what I'm saying? He's gonna call your number. So I always enjoyed when he'd mess with those guys and randomly select starters and see how the reaction is and you make some jokes. So he said, I have a thousand Pop stories that stand out. And every time we went to dinner, I remember going to dinner with him as I got older. And was comfortable enough to ask him questions about like some of the things he did when he played. And he's like, oh, I got fucking cut for so and so. They picked the wrong guy. I should have been playing. And, his first experience, when certain things got legal, when we got legal, his first experience, if he ever tried it, have you ever tried drugs before? He's like, he told us a long story, but I tried it one time. It didn't go well. I didn't know where I was at, and I never tried it again. Like something like that. So those things always stand out for me. Funny as hell, but those things I would never ask when I was a kid. I would ask when I was older. It's like, all right, he's more comfortable telling me, and I've been with him for 6, 7 years. It's like, all right, he's, I did this one time. I was hanging out with this girl. I dropped her off. I forgot I dropped her off, and I was like, he's like, where's Jenny or something like that? He's, I never did it again. I never tried it again. So yeah.
Hey, how well do you think women can flourish under him? How can he still connect with the young players?
He's adjusted well, man. I think he's had to, especially with the Kawhi situation, and then when DeMar came over and LaMarcus came over, he had different personalities he had to adjust and adapt to, because those guys, not saying that they're not humble guys, but they're not like Timmy, Tony, Manu. Like, the foreigners are just different. LaMarcus, humble guy, but still like, these guys are superstars. Kawhi, super DeMar, they're used to being the guys in their system before they came over. And then we had Becky. So he had Becky. She kind of interned first, and then she helped. And now she's doing her thing with the women's side. She's doing amazing things.
Yeah.
So he's had descendants all over the league, all over the world, coaching in Europe. So I think he's done an amazing job allowing people to grow and also to learn his system. Just not, women, men, kids, everybody you see that he's touched. Like I said, you can him. Certain people have the Midas touch. You know what I'm saying? Like, they always find ways to sprinkle it into people and they become successful. You see it in Miami. You even see LeBron and his people with Clutch. That type of thing. certain guys that he puts in certain positions, even his guys, that he's able to make their platforms or whatever grow. Pop is one of those guys, and he's able to do it not only with men, but on the women's side as well.
Yeah.
Danny, going back to one of your championships, 2020 Lakers, the internet, you know, Lakers haters, of course, are out there. They like to sit, discount the bubble. They call it, oh, the Disney championship, the bubble, the Mickey or whatever. What is your response to people who say that that title was easier?
I mean, to each their own. You know, everybody has their opinion. You know, everybody has one. Some of them matter, some don't. Some of them hold more weight than others, depending on where you've been and what you've done. To me, it was the hardest one, mentally, physically, emotionally. It's just tough. And I've spoken on this multiple times, hundreds of times. No matter how nice you make an area, it's still tough to be in it. And it was a really nice resort. You know what I'm saying? But being in that space for 100 days, the first 2 months without your family, friends, girlfriends, wives, et cetera, and then being with them confined in a small space, no matter how much you golf, no matter how much you go to restaurants or walk around the facilities, it closes in on you. And it was tough. It was tough. But what's that? It was well worth it. We got a chance to win. We got out of there with a win. Because I can imagine being on the other side of it. If you're Miami, you have to go 100 days and then come out and lose. That's got to be, to go home with that, that's got to be a tough one. Because even years that we did lose when we weren't in the bubble, it was a tough summer for me. We had short summers. We lost to Miami. Short summer, tough one. And I got a chance to travel world and do whatever and kind of like try to take my mind off of it. When you're in COVID in the bubble and all you can think about, and that's the only thing going on. When you're a basketball fan and just a basketball, like, you know, it's just your passion. It's hard to get away from it, and it could wear on you a lot mentally.
Mm. So there's so many young, talented guards in the league right now. Who you think is like your top five? You think right now? Because it's like, you know, the game has changed. It's so different from
it's different
when
now
we play.
From
what we can't be as physical. I mean, you know. So I want to know, like, what?
J-Dub, I already know, bro. We defensive guys. We were able to, you know, be physical guard.
I know, because somebody just told me the other day. I had said it on the OG's podcast. And I was like, it's so different now. It's just really about scoring. Like, you know what I mean, a lot of shots, a lot of scoring. And just imagine, like, when you first came in, you could shoot 15 to 17 threes in one game. You might be at the record, you know what I mean? And somebody told me, like, you don't play defense. I was like, if you don't think I did, that's your choice. I'm not about to argue with you. Like, you got your own point. But I just like to see, like, where everybody's point of view, because you came in a year right before me and know how it is, like, how the game was played. And, like, how do you see, like, who you think is your top five guard you think is special right now?
To your point, it has changed a lot, the game. And I know I remember I've seen the clip where you said it's hard to watch at times. It was just all offense. I do like the fact that Adam Silver's trying to figure out a way to let defenses, because they did change the rules a little bit. You know, Trey used to, James had his swipe through, the arms, can't play defense.
Trey,
can't
dude, this is
you
have arm.
They find, yeah, you stop, jump backwards. You can't even defensively. They got screeners. The toughest thing that they said, these guys are so good, it makes it even harder when you let guys set illegal screens, you let them carry the ball. Trey, you know what I'm saying? Certain guys will carry, look, make a decision, shoot, pass, put the ball back on the floor, double step backs now. Like, it's a different game. But the young group, for me, man, I love, and I'm biased because some of these kids I got to play with and watch up close. And, you know, Tyrese Maxey is one of them, Desmond Bane, I got to see Ja Morant. If he, you know, things go in the right direction for him, those are young guys. But guys that I didn't get a chance to see or match up with or play with, Anthony Edwards, I got a chance to play against him, but he's starting to come into it. You know, he's one of my favorite guys. He's must-see TV.
Yeah.
Night in, night out.
I just said it.
They're playing Utah Jazz. You know what I'm saying? Nobody cares to see a Minnesota-Utah Jazz game. But when he's doing shit like that with
you
people
got
on posters, you got to watch him. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, I got to see what he's going to do night in, night out. There's some young guys that such like the way they hoop. Jalen Brunson's playing really well. Tyus Haliburton had a great stretch earlier. Right now he's struggling, but I love the way he plays the game. But it said when it comes from bigs, Sagun from Houston, I could see him being another Jokic coming up.
I told a lot of people about him when I was there early on. I said he got a chance to be special. I seen him up close and personal.
When you see it, it's like you don't really know until when you get a chance to see it up close, you're like, all right, I knew Tyrese Maxey was going to be, so just the way he carried himself, like, yo, he's going to be good. Like, I didn't think he was going to be superstar. I wasn't sure he was a superstar that fast. But I'm like, yo, and then when I was seeing him, like, he's going to be a star. And you could see it. Sagun is another good big. Wemby, I haven't got a chance to see him up close, but just watching how he moves. I'm not gonna lie. Like at first, I was like, "We might have another bowl situation." I just couldn't see a 7'5" guy being effective and being that light and thin. But in today's game, the floor is stretched. Him and Chet, those guys are gonna be young and up and coming. But outside of the really young guys, you know, you got Shea, you got Luka, you know, those guys, Jason Tatum, they're kind of right now running the league. And I think the league's in a good space Jalen Williams, another kid. People
there
sleep
we
on
go.
that backcourt, man. Those kids are unbelievable. They really deserve their flowers, offensively and defensively. They're gonna be OKC is gonna be, and you know, we were making fun of OKC just a year or two ago. Like, they're so terrible. Yeah. Why? You know what I'm saying? They have all these picks. Why are they not using them? Getting rid of them? They're gonna be bad for them. Shea's really turned that organization around, and then bringing in Jalen Williams aboard, and then Chet being healthy. So, you know, so those are some of the young guys that I like to watch and said, I want to see Ja get back. But I think the NBA is in a good space right now, because everybody's like wondering when Bron is gone, when the old school guy's gone, is the league. I think the league is in really good hands right now and a good space with hopefully Zion staying healthy and all these other guys that I just mentioned coming into their own and coming into their prime.
Danny, staying on the young guys conversation, you know, we have the Thunder, we have the Timberwolves kind of hovering that 1 and 2 spot, but everyone's still picking the Nuggets. Everyone's still picking, you know, Celtics to make it there. So is experience, can you talk about how that experience kind of like really comes into play in the playoffs?
Huge, man, because when it comes down to the playoffs, the game slows down. It's fourth quarter execution, you know, and that's what experience. If you haven't been there before, you don't know how you're going to react. You don't know how your players are going to react when it comes to coach. Also coaching, you don't know how coaches are going to react. They may overcoach. They may not know what play to call, who to put in. They may not trust this guy or trust that. When it's like, all right, and it all comes down to when I think of playoffs, it comes down to not only your stars, but your X factors. And is the coach going to put those guys in the position to help save the group? You know what I'm saying? It might be like, say if it's not Boston, say Minnesota, say, all right, we got – what's the other group? Who's coming off the bench? Mike Conley, obviously, is a vet, but like another young kid.
Like Naz Reid off the bench.
Naz Reid.
Monte Morris.
McDaniels.
Jaden McDaniels, Alexander Walker.
Like those guys, those are the guys they're going to need to step up. You know what I'm saying? Anthony Edwards is going to do what he does. Cat's going to do what he does. Gobert, Mike Conley. But like when it comes to the playoffs, the game slows down. We need somebody to come out of their own and win us a series, win us a game. And that could be like one of those guys. When it comes to OKC, it may not be Chet, Jalen, or, you know, it might be Isaiah Joe coming off the bench. You know, we need him to score 15 for us. If he averaged 15 for the series, that changes the whole – the other team didn't game plan for that. So experience is huge when it comes to playoffs, because playoffs, when it comes down to it, every team knows everybody's plays, and it comes executing for 48 minutes or for longer of the 48 minutes than the other team. And usually that comes down to experience and knowing each other. Denver and Jamal and Jokic, they know each other so well. It's like, all right, fourth quarter, we know what we're doing. San Antonio – we had four plays. Everybody knew when they were coming. They still couldn't stop them because we just knew each other so well. It's like we knew they cut this off as another option. Tony coming back door, so-and-so, Manu here. And it was just all – and some guys said in that moment, even though they know the plays, they might get nervous and mess it up because they don't have that experience. They're just like, oh, the lights might get to them. You don't know how they're going to react in those moments when it comes down to executing in front of 20,000 fans screaming on the road. And when, you know, there's something on the line. So experience plays a huge factor when it comes to winning a championship.
For sure. I mean, we was playing in the playoffs. And early on, we had Trevor Ariza and Nene. They taught us so much about, like, I didn't know. You know, like the first possession, somebody like, it don't mean nothing. I remember I didn't get back. Trevor cussed me out so bad. He's like, no, every fucking possession means something. And it really does. But like Danny said, like, you know everybody play. You know they want to run. I remember, I think it was 2014 while we playing Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew that was running the side pick and roll with George Hill and David West pocket pass. With you couldn't help because Paul George in a strong corner. So it was like, how do we stop it? Like, we knew the play, but it was just bread and butter. So experience definitely comes a factor into it. Like, my first time in the playoffs, we didn't know. We knew we wanted to run in the fourth quarter, but we was just nervous. We never was in that position before. But then the next year after that, I finally had that experience understood. And then my last year, 2017, we lost to the Celtics. We knew IT was going to kill. He was going to do his thing. You know, he was scoring at a high level. But game seven, Kelly Olynyk went for like 15 in the fourth quarter that we didn't expect.
Didn't plan for, but at least y'all had the experience. Like, it took years after years of like finally, all right, feel comfortable in that space. And he said every possession matters. The start of the game to the end, because it sets the tone. That first possession sets the tone. And I remember the year that we won it in 2014, we came back the next year. It was wild in the West. We lost the game. We was 2 seed, lost the last game of the season, and ended up being a 7 seed. We played the Clippers in the first round. And this is when I think they might have had, because I don't know, it was a short season where we had back-to-backs in the playoffs, which was crazy. It's a 2 seed versus 7 seed, and it's us, the Clippers. Really should be a Western Conference final matchup, but it's a first-round matchup. And to start the game, I'm guarding JJ, we're chasing that, and we're shutting down JJ, because JJ's first quarter. He's getting everything. Shots, looks.
Every play,
we're like,
quarter,
not shutting him down, but we're keeping him contained, you know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, Matt Barnes is getting threes. They're like, what the fuck? And Kawhi is guarding. And they're like, And it's like, yo, Timmy's like, yo, we can't allow this to happen. Like, you can't, like, and for Timmy to say something, you know, go act quiet in a huddle and let him know, like, yo, wake up. You know, this is time. It don't matter. First quarter, four, like, this first possession, you got to make sure you can't let guys like this hurt us. We can't prepare. Well, we prepare for JJ to score 10 to 15. We can't prepare for Matt Barnes to score 9 points in the first quarter. Like, nah, he's supposed to stay under his 4 points or within that. Mm-hmm. If he affects the game, that changes the whole, like, yo, now we got to stop other guys. So all those possessions matter, man. And Tony was a big, and Timmy, all those guys were big on, like, letting you know when you're messing up and when you need to execute and be on your P's and Q's. Like, look, don't dick around. Like, you need to be awake. Wake the fuck. And that Pop was great at that, too. He cuts everybody out. Anybody.
I got a question for both you guys. Because UNC and Kentucky, going back to college a little bit with the tournament coming up, wanted to ask you, if you guys could build your all-time five from your respective schools, so UNC versus Kentucky, who do you think would win?
They have a great... They have a great alum, man. Unbelievable. But when we have Mike.
That's tough.
That's the cheat code.
We have Mike, you know, it's tough to compete about. We got Mike, Vince, we got Stack. We got guys in even our second unit would be pretty good. I know as of late, our alum hasn't been as good. So, like, if you go by era, it'd be a tough one. Like, Kentucky could probably get us in, you know, certain maybe 2000s, 2010s. You know what I'm saying? Like, later, like, a lot of our guys – back in the day with Sam Perkins, like Antoine Jameson, Vince, mm-hmm. sits back. There's so many guys that we can list off, but if you go by era, it'll be a tough matchup. But if you go all time, I think it's tough when you have Mike, Vince, Stagg, Twan Jameson, Sheed. I mean, and this is before even college play, but Tyler had his great run in college. Tyler Hansbrough had a great college career. So, and it recently had a rankings of, like, the best college careers, and I think
he has to be up there. Has to be.
And it was interesting to me to see, like, that they did a lot of one and dones. But we have a really – it'd be a hell of a matchup, I'll tell you that. You, regardless of what the lineups are, because you got, so fucking AD, cuz. Y'all got all those guys, man.
That's what I'm saying.
You got Mads Burn. You hit it right now. Like, it depends on what era, because the game is so different.
It's so different.
And I say this, like, all the time, because somebody just – I think Boog and Matt Barnes just had one about, like, UCLA versus Kentucky, and they was, like, putting their teams together. And Steven Jackson was like, hell no, Matt. The team you put together don't have a chance.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, if you now old enough to – because back when we idolized those guys, they're still great. But when you watch the 80s and 90s, the basketball was so different. Like,
completely
the skill
different.
Set now is like, yo, AD is shooting three. Like, their bigs weren't shooting threes back then. You know what I'm saying? Like, able to handle the ball. Cuz was handling the ball, shooting threes, doing – like – that's a tough matchup for Antoine Jameson. That's a tough matchup for Sheed, any of those guys playing a big spot. So it's different games, hard to compare. I do love the way the game is growing, though, and I do still respect the older guys that paved the way for us, and they are great. But these kids nowadays, man, are doing stuff that step backs and euro steps, we weren't doing that shit in high school.
You get called for travels.
Yeah.
They wouldn't know what it was. I mean, first time I your step in high school, coach, the ref called travel. I'm like, what? I said, you must not be watching NBA. He said, I do not watch no NBA.
They showed a clip of the first euro step. I think it was Dominique Wilkins back in the day.
Yeah.
It was bad.
They called the travel. You know, I'm like, that's a clean move. It was nice. I think you might have missed it, but it was smooth. They didn't know what it was. Because they didn't know what it was, they just called the travel. I was like, damn, back in the 80s, I actually tried it. They just went 11. What happened?
Was Ginobili getting called for him early on?
No. He's one of the first to kind of bring it over.
For real.
He was one of the trendsetters. And then obviously, you know, James kind of made it perfected that, and then the step back and the double step back. But the Euros are the ones that kind of brought it over and made it more like they normalized it. So where it's like, oh, yeah, we do this in Europe. In Europe, they call more travels there than they do here. So in the NBA, they want to see entertainment. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to call as many travels. Depending on who you are, they're not calling carries and travels and double dribbles. You know, certain guys. Certain guys may get it, but it's like if it's a special player and he acts like he knows what he's doing, it's clean. You know what I'm saying? You know, Bron might do a spin move into a Euro. Like, oh, shit, Bron, he did it like he was confident. Yeah. It's got to be.
It's like Giannis coming in transition. Like, it's, you know, you can do, you taking three steps. Like, I barely can stop him taking two steps. So it's like pick and choose. So the tournament getting close, how far you think Carolina can go?
I like
we both, team. we both of our teams had just, at least y'all made it to the ACC championship, but my team fell in the first round, which I was upset about. But, you know, like I was saying earlier to CJ, it's like It's tough to win nine straight. Like, I mean, win the conference tournament, then to go.
No, you need that loss. You need that loss. That loss is necessary. And every time we won the ACC title, we lost in the tournament. So that's why I didn't care if Carolina won the ACC, like the conference tournament, because I wanted us to have a better chance. Because winning the tournament is hard to go in. You need that. You need a little edge. You need a chip on your shoulder. So I like our chances. I don't like the fact that we lost to NC State in the championship game. I didn't want us to win it, though. But the fact that we lost to them, I'm like, damn, it's NC State.
Yeah,
that's, you know what I'm
right
saying?
Down the road, yeah.
But they knocked Duke out, so it was like, cool, whatever. NC State, we'll let them have that. But I like our chances. I do like Kentucky's chances as well. I think this is one of the years that we can get it done. For sure, get to the Final Four would be nice. If so, I'll be covering them on Yahoo. But we have a good group. And I think our bracket is pretty I wouldn't say easy, but it's one of the easier ones. It's pretty smooth. I think
Purdue, you know how Selection Sunday go. You'd be like, what? Who picked this? Man, UConn, you'd be like, how do I get the hardest bracket?
Yeah, UConn, I think, has the toughest one. Kentucky has a pretty good one. Like, y'all in a pretty good
second
bracket.
Round, we might have Texas or NC State if they win.
But Purdue has a pretty smooth one. We have a pretty good one. So I like our bracket. I don't like the fact that we might have to see Michigan State second or third game, and then Baylor's in our bracket. But outside of that, UConn's got Illinois, Auburn, all of them. It's like Kentucky, y'all got some. Depending on y'all, got a bracket where the guys are injuries. So like Houston, they're a little shaky, but they got.
I feel like Houston gets there every year, and then like right around the tournament time, they start to fall apart. Like they have a good team every year. I don't know. I think the Marquette guard might be out, right?
Their season is based on that, whether he can get healthy or not and get back. Wisconsin has a good, decent group. I have some sleepers. But I think y'all can definitely come out. Y'all can make it out. But I like our chances. I like our chances with our bracket.
Yeah, for us, the most important thing for us, like, we can score the ball at a high level. I just think they have to lock in defensively. You know how it is. Like, to them, like, the way they play defense when they went to Tennessee the last game of the regular season and won, if they can play that defense, they have a great chance.
Y'all
to go
got
away.
A lot of talent, a lot of NBA players. So you have a mix. I think you have on the younger side, you have to rely on some of your younger guys to, like, keep it – it's consistent because they've been great all season. Now it's like tournament time. Are you going to, when the lights are bright, are you going to shine?
This is when it matters.
This is when it matters.
So
are they going to keep it going? You have to win your losses. That's what I tell people in the tournament. You got to win your losses. The nights where you play shitty, you have to find a way to get a W. So I think Carolina at least makes the Final Four. I'll be happy with that. If they have to face like a UConn or somebody in the Final Four and they lose, I'm like, all right, I understand. Connecticut is unbelievable, but I'm hoping that somebody knocks them out early. I think Auburn might be able to get them.
Yeah, I think that's like the most team that's like, complete, like they just know who they are. Like they know who they are. They brought a lot of guys back from last year. They just completely know who they are. I'm super excited for the tournament time. I think I might sneak down to the Final Four and see.
It's gonna be a fun one, man. It's in Phoenix, so it ain't a bad place to be. You know what I'm saying?
Danny, I wanted to ask you because you had an interesting thing in your career. You played with 2009 LeBron and then you played with 2020 LeBron. Were there specific differences between the two different LeBrons?
He was still the same. He was a big kid, but he knew how to win at that point. He learned how to, when he went down to Spo in Miami, he knew how important the details and execution was. He always had a great mind for the game. He always understood the game. He knew it greatly. He was a big, said I had Shaq too at the time, big ass kids, you know, played around a lot of fun. But said he knew how to take it serious. He knew what he needed around him to get it done. And he also knew the details of like, yo, nah, we can walk through. Let's go over that again. I don't like that. I don't like him there. Let's get this. Let's change that. Nah. And because some people go through shit rounds, like we all hate shit rounds. Fucking pointless. But if
getting
you,
up early
if you
for
take
no
them
reason.
Serious, yeah, for no reason. During the season, it's like, all right, we played these guys last week. We don't need this. But in the playoffs, walkthroughs, if you take them serious, you can get something out of it, especially mental. It's like, all right, make sure. So we know we're going over this. This is what they're going to do. And when they do this, make this adjustment, what are we going to adjust to? So yeah, he was big on that and the details. I think he learned that when he got to Miami. So that's the only difference. Outside of that, still a big ass kid, man. Like to have fun, and play the game. It's just said there's times where he can go off and there's times he said he's going to make the game easier for you. And said during those times where it's like, all right, he's going to challenge you. So it's like, yo, you better step up to the plate and he's going to make sure you better be there or he's going to be like, yo, you're not doing your job. So you just want to make sure you're on your P's and Q's too to not let him or the rest of the group down.
So now you got your own podcast called Inside the Green Room, Danny Green. Like, how do you feel about taking that next step of going into that and being into the podcast field?
Yeah, man, I love it, man. Especially the fact that everybody's doing it, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Seeing you have your own Bron, JJ, all those guys. This is year six for me. I've been doing it. And I started doing it right before the trade, me and Kawhi got traded to Toronto. It was just another way for me, because I always know what I wanted to do after ball, and I wanted to get into the media space. Because coaching, I think I'd be good at it, but I just think it's too stressful. I don't want to mess with it, man. I'm saying I like to keep my hair the color it is, and I like to keep my hair. I don't want to be going bald. People going bald, getting gray hair, and you know the stress as a player, man. Like we take on a lot. There's a house. I can imagine relying on other grown men to keep your job stability. Like it's just an unstable job for me. So I wanted to get into the media space. So this was ultimately me getting reps, talking in front of the camera, presenting myself, how to talk the game, how to give thoughts, breakdowns in certain time periods. Also give my opinion, also have a platform, have a voice to use it for other things when COVID's happening, when Black Lives Matter movements are happening, talking in, in a political space, but also, allowing players to have it ultimately change us to have more power and say so with guys, being mistreated in the org, like industry. And so there's a lot of stories of guys, certain GMs doing the wrong way, certain coaches doing the wrong way. Coaches and GMs are less likely to do that now when guys are able to talk in their own space freely about, their experiences. And also said to have more power, what they want to do, where they want to go, and to, players are frowned upon when they were asking for trades, when they want to go here. You and a lot of fans, they only see what the media prints,
Say it
right?
again, say it again.
So they're always going to take the negative, the dramatic kind of like the content that always draws you. Oh, so and so wants to trade. So and so doesn't like this. And it's like, yo, I said this. It takes small bits and pieces of what you're saying and not the full story just to get clicks. And now that also allows us to be like, oh, yeah, I said this, but this is what I meant. It's not how I said that. You know what I'm saying? Like it's all context and tone. And it's like they can take one small thing and take it out. Now it's like players are able to like, look, this is what I was thinking. Now that fans get an insight, this is what really was happening. He's not just a dummy. He didn't make this mistake, or he didn't just say that, or he's not trying to come at his teammate, or he's not trying to stir up shit. He's just saying his opinion. Look, this is how I felt it was. Like D'Lo's having his podcast now. He's getting heat, like because he's giving his opinion of his relationship with Darvin Ham. So, yo, I'm just telling you how I saw. He had a better relationship with him. Like, why the hell y'all? You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying small things and y'all taking out of context. But so that's what I love about the space. I love that players are able to use their power for, more than in their voices for, other things outside of basketball, but also on the basketball court to be handled and treated the way they should be treated.
Danny, one last question, and appreciate you coming on here.
Of
Can
course.
You just speak a little bit about, because if I'm not mistaken, you're not done playing. Like
No,
you're
no, no.
staying ready, right? Like tell us a little bit
Absolutely.
about how complicated and how like interesting that is like you're available, but also you're making moves to be ready for post-career. So tell us a little bit about that.
I've been lucky to be put in situations where people prepared me for the future and see the bigger picture way before it happened. So I've been doing this for a couple of years. I went to the sportscast of you because like people, when they're done playing, it's a real shock for them. And they're not ready for it, and they don't know how to adjust it. They don't know how to handle it. So as tough as it is, still not being able to play, watch, it's hard to watch NBA games when you're not playing. J-Dub, I already know, how this is. Knowing you can get out there like, oh, I could literally do this. Oh, I could help a team. I could do, you know what I'm saying? So it's hard to watch the game and not feel a way or not have a bias. And said, let alone if you had nothing else going on. Luckily, I'm trying to keep busy to keep my mind off it, to do media stuff, do that. So, people told me earlier, get into this now. Don't wait till later. So I got into that, doing the sportscast of you, doing the podcast, doing tournament time. But in the same breath, busting my ass physically, make sure I'm in the gym, every day. And if a call does happen, I'm ready. You know what I'm saying? I'm prepared. And then when the team does see me, it's like, oh, he's not just here to be a cheerleader or to, what I'm saying, be a veteran at the end of the bench to teach us something. Like, no, we can actually use this guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, we might want to keep him for next year. And so it's tough. It's tough when you're going through it because I'm a little more old school. I'm not the type to post my workouts. And when you don't post it or you don't record it, it's like, oh, it didn't happen. Or people forget about you quickly. People don't know what you're doing. And I fall victim to it too. It's like, yo, shit, when John was out of the league, I'm like, I've seen him play. And I'm like, all right, I think he can hoop. But I'm like, I don't know. What is it? If people don't see you play on that level, it's like, oh, I don't know. They'll discredit it. Or he's not ready. Or he can't fit. And I'm like, I think John could play. I think he definitely could help a team in the hoop. Somehow I had arguments with somebody. Like, he'll have a 15-7-7. I'm like, Nah, no way. Then he gets on the court and he plays with the Clippers. Like, shit, John could easily average 15 and 7. You know what I'm saying? Like 7 assists, 15 points. Just because I haven't seen him do it. I've seen enough of some of the workouts. But people said, in this day and age, it's a tough battle between promoting yourself. I'm not one of those people, and showing it and recording it and to show you that you're ready. It's like, yo, I'm ready And a lot of people won't believe it or put faith in you or give you a chance or opportunity unless they see you doing those things. And it's like, it's a tough battle every day for me. It's like, yeah, I'm still need it, but I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep staying ready. I'm going to keep, because I didn't do all this rehab to just fucking retire. I did all, I tore my ACL, LCL, all that hamstring, and I came back in 8 months. I didn't do all that just to be like, all right, call it quits. Nah, I'm trying to get the most out of it and play, because I can do media forever. I could do that till I'm 90 years old. You know, I could, basketball, you only do so a certain time. So I'm going to try to play as long as, because I don't want to leave the court with no regrets. When I hang them up, it's like, you know what? I had nothing else left to give. I gave the game all I got. But yes, I'm staying ready physically, basketball-wise. I'm still working out, but I'm doing other things to keep me busy so that it's not as tough mentally and emotionally on me. And I just had a little one. The little one's 6, 7 months now. Congrats, so he keeps me positive.
Congrats.
Appreciate you, brother. Appreciate you. So it keeps me young. It keeps me young. Focusing on the positives. But I'm very much in shape and ready to help a team, and I could help a team. I can still shoot at the ball. I can still get corner to corner. I can still play a little defense. And it's like you said, not many people playing great defense. So it's like, I'm not going to be a liability out there, but I can still do, you know, things that can help a team. And I'm just waiting on that call, man.
Yeah, you hit it right on the nose, though. You definitely got to stay ready, but you also got to do other things so you don't get frustrated, get so stressed. Like me being able to take my kid to school, watch him play soccer, watch him go to boxing. Like that's the only thing that's keeping me sane, because like you say, you're watching the game, you're like, man, I know I can do this. I know I can help a team. But like you say, you're just in a different space sometimes where you can't really can control. And like for me, I'm like, I'm going to post this workout. Then I was like, man, I'm not about to post everything, because sometimes you post and they be like, well, you're not playing against nobody, or you're not
That's
doing this.
Oh, he's playing against this, though. They're going to discredit it either way.
And I'm like, in the summertime, you got teams that come down here, or it's all pros that be in Miami where I'm playing. I'm like, well, this is not just anybody that's from the park or don't have a name. But like you say, you find that space where you feel like you're comfortable with what's next for you, but you still stay ready. Like you said, until you're ready to give it up, you'll know when the time is. When you feel like you got something left, you're going to continue to work.
It's an everyday battle, man, because half of your friends are going to be like, yo, keep going, and half your friends are going to be like, yo, you had a great career.
I ain't trying to hear that last part.
Yeah, no, I'm not either. Man.
Yeah, but you do hear it, though.
You see other people sending you, like, Jamal Crawford, like, I've had a great career, man, and unfortunately, said I never was a superstar. And even superstars don't get the opportunity to end their career the way they want to. Carmelo, Dwight, like there's a bunch of guys. It just happens abruptly. And you're seeing all these podcasts and guys telling their story. Like, damn, I gave the game so much, I might not be able to, you know, end it the way I wanted to, even if I did it the right way. Regardless if you're a great locker room guy, regardless if you have 3 championships, they don't really give a damn. It's, what have you done for me lately? What can you do? They don't care. So, me coming to terms with like, not saying I'm gonna be okay with it, but be able to handle, like, all right, even though I bust my ass and I don't get the call, I gave it my all, and like, all right, I can find ways to adapt and adjust to it and understand, like, you know, life is not always gonna happen the way you think it's or what you want. So you can do everything right and still not get the opportunity. But how do you bounce back from that? What are you gonna do next? What is the other avenue? So yeah, I understand it. I get it. I don't like it. You know, when you're old and you have injuries, people may not give you the opportunity. But the fact that is that I've seen so many other guys have their careers end abruptly, and they're just not, like Kenya Martin talks about on Gil's podcast, it's like, all right, I understand. And the fact that I'm prepared for it allows me to kind of cope with it better than other people may be able to cope with it.
Well, we appreciate you. I hope you both get the call, because we've said it on previous episodes, is that vets make a difference, like truly,
100%.
Especially come playoff time.
And I'm least complaining of why the game looked the way it said, so many blowouts and, you know, stupidity and mistakes. It's like, yeah, you need vets in these groups and in these teams. So, yeah, man. I appreciate you guys.
Appreciate you, Danny.
Appreciate you,
yeah, man.
J-Dub, man, good luck, man. Yep. I can't wait to see you back on the floor. I know you're going to get there, brother. If not, keep doing the podcast stuff, keep with the kids. But I know you're going to get back out there. I can't wait to see you back on the floor,
appreciate
bro. I appreciate you having me on the podcast. And I wish you all the best, man. So love, much love always. And I'm sure I'll see y'all soon. Good luck to your boys, too, Kentucky.
All right,
same
to you, too.
Do some big things.
Good luck to your boys, too. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. Check out Inside the Green Room, hosted by Danny Green. We'll be right back on Point Game, presented by DraftKings. One more segment with John and me. Welcome back to Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano, presented by DraftKings. Now, we're going to play our favorite segment of every show, Bucket or Brick. And as a reminder, Bucket or Brick is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. DraftKings Sportsbook is your home for all things NBA action, from player props to same-game parlays. Check out everything DraftKings Sportsbook has to offer to make your NBA experience even sweeter. The crown is yours. And I think John, you remember how to play this, but for anyone listening for the first time, bucket or brick, I'm going to say a statement. And if you agree, you're going to say bucket. And if you disagree, you're going to say brick. So you ready, John?
For sure.
All right, bucket or brick. Okay, first one, Kentucky is currently plus 700 to make the Final Four. So if you bet $100, you could win 700 bucks if they end up winning the title. So hopefully that happens. So John, bucket or brick, Kentucky will make the Final Four.
Bucket. I got them winning the Final Four. I got them winning the championship. I got them going all the way. I know Cal going to make some adjustments for them, I mean, and let them do what they do. If they lock in defensively, offensively, and scoring and making shots, they got all the tools for that. If they just can lock in on the defensive end for six games, they'll be holding up another national championship. So I have my school going all the way.
Do you like what Danny was saying? Like, you almost got to lose one before so you can, like,
yeah, I felt for that streak. We wanted to win the SEC championship so bad, but it's funny because the first game when we play Alabama, we was down like 20 early on. And yeah, before the tournament started, Kyle was like, man, I don't really care about this tournament. I'm focused for the next one. You know what I mean? So, you know, we kind of went in with a mindset like we was like, then we was like, man, hell no, we trying to win. And we went up ending the tournament, not saying like he wanted us to lose on purpose. You know what I mean? I
think, right.
You know, like everybody wants to win SEC championship, regular season championship. You want to win every game you can, you know what I mean? And it was in Nashville, so, you know, a lot of Kentucky fans came. But I think like when we won that game, like we would have lost the Mississippi State in championship, I think they would have gave us another type of hunger. But you know what I mean? We left out on a high horse. And not saying that's the reason why we lost. I mean, West Virginia was a better team that day and beat us. But we still came out with that mindset. We was dominating every game we played. Yeah. Like, we dominated everybody. We just fell short to a team that was better than us that day. They made shots that we didn't make, and they was better than us. But we felt like, I mean, to Danny, he might have that experience because he's been there before. That was our first year and my only year. I just wanted to win the whole thing, so.
Moving on, staying in college. Okay, so a few teams didn't make the NCAA tourney, and they've opted out of the NIT, like St. John, Syracuse, Oklahoma, and Pittsburgh. So, bucket or brick, opting out of the NIT is a good call.
I say brick. For me, I would say brick because I feel like you still is representing your school. You still just want to go out there and compete. You know what I mean? Like, even though you fall short of, like, let's say if you want a team that falls short of making the top six teams, you know what I mean? Now you got to be 7, 8, 9, 10 to play in the playing tournament. So you basically don't want to play in the playing tournament. But I guess it's a little different because if you make it through the playing tournament, you get a chance to still win an NBA championship. You know what I mean? But I think just competing, like some of those guys might want to compete. They might still want to play at a high level. You know what I mean? I know they're not probably used to being in the NIT, but it's still a way where you can still play and compete at a high level. And some of those guys might be seniors. Like, what if those seniors don't get any say-so and their last game could have ended how it ended?
Yeah. All right. So that's a brick. So you got to play. I mean, like a lot of these guys, they also want to be showcasing their game still, you know, might be getting ready for.
Yeah. And like you said, some of those guys still can showcase their talent exactly. And still scouts might still go watch them and see how they're doing.
Okay. All right. Moving on to the women's game, Caitlin Clark and Iowa, they got that number one seed in the women's tournament. So bucket or brick, Iowa will win the NCAA women's tournament this season. A lot of good teams and a lot of good players.
I say both. I won't say brick, though, because I never know. You never know. You know what I mean? Caitlin Clark is super, super special. She's a dope talent. You still got Dawn Staley in South Carolina. You know what I mean? You know, you got UConn that's coming up. You still have LSU. USC is playing well. It's a lot of great teams that's out there. But she's one of those players that she can go on the run like Kemba Walker and Sebastian Napier and them did that one year and go win it all. So I can't really say no. Depends on who they would match up against, but I think she's going to put on a heck of a tournament run. And she might get close to doing what she did last year or not even better.
You can't say no, but do you have a team maybe that you think if you had to call it right now, who would win the women's tourney? Or who your favorite?
If I had to call, I'm saying South Carolina for me. Like, I mean, just being so dominant 2 years in a row, undefeated in the regular season. You know, I just think they have a complete team, even though they got a young team. They got a lot of people that came in that's young. But I think just the way Dawn Staley had them playing, the way they believe in themselves. At the end of the day, when a team like that, I think the only people that can beat them is themselves.
Okay, final bucket or brick. Your buddy Dame Lillard, he had a big game against the Suns. So bucket or brick, Dame is the most clutch player in the NBA right now.
Just this season or just all, like, since he's?
I would say, like, right now, this season or, yeah, like, currently, most clutch.
This season. Yeah, that's what I would say. I would say brick because he hasn't had to do it as much as he did in Portland. For me, I think the most clutch guy I would say right now would probably be Shea. I mean, because they've been in so many close games. But if you want to say since he's been in the league, I'm damn sure saying Damian Lillard. so many clutch shots in big moments, and he lives for those moments. But you know what I mean? That's what Dame Dollar do.
Yeah, definitely one of the top three. All right, John, that's been another episode of Point Game. How you feeling?
I feel great, man. Like I said, I'm excited about where Point Game is going. It's great to get up here every week with you, just talk basketball, just talk anything that's going on in the world and life, just picking people's brains and getting different hosts up here and giving the people what they want to hear. So, you know what I mean? I went on the OG show. I shout out the Point Game Pod, you know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
To get us some people to pay attention to what we got going. But I think a lot of people are enjoying the show. They're enjoying what we have going. And I think we're just going to continue to get better and better.
Yeah, like John said, more guests on the way. Keep supporting, the show. Keep following us on socials. Clips are coming out. This has been Point Game presented by DraftKings. Also, remember, please rate, review, and subscribe. And in the podcast reviews, you can drop questions for John. He's going to answer those on upcoming episodes. So this has been Point Game. I'm CJ Toledano. This is John Wall. Peace. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See dkng.com/promos for eligibility and responsible gaming resources. Odds and lines subject to change.